The Psychedologist. Ariel Szabo, a midwife of intimacy and connection, and a dear friend, comes on the podcast for a deep and yummy conversation about pleasure, grief, and spirals. In this episode, we discuss imagination, de-armoring, vulnerability, conflict as an opportunity to get closer, and the practice of using pleasure to integrate all parts of us. Ariel shares about bodywork and the gift it offers through giving and receiving it, seeing people come alive when they give themselves permission to express themselves fully. We hear about genital de-armoring, a practice that brings presence and loving connection to our body's resistance and blocks to liberate them. The conversation turns to a discussion of shame and grief. We talk about masturbation, the commonness of childhood sexual abuse, and Ariel's journey through healing and integration. We celebrate the magic of mirror work. The conversation, unsurprisingly, turns to plants and how much we love them. Plants as teachers, showing us possibility. Plants resourcing us to feel. We touch on how colonization has impacted us in our bodies and as a society, and the beauty in reclaiming our inherent belonging with the plant, animal, and fungi kingdoms. Ariel shares about two upcoming offerings as well. Temple of the Womb, a 6-week in-person immersive in Salem, Massachusetts this fall, and an ayahuasca and Wachuma plant medicine retreat in Peru in March 2024. Ariel is dedicated to walking with people back to their bodies, their hearts, and their souls. Formerly trained as a sexological bodyworker, somatic sex educator, and psychedelic therapist, all in service of supporting people in remembering their inherent value and belonging. She weaves together spiritual and Western teachings, integrating the wisdom she receives from the consciousness of the plants and elements that she sits with, and Western knowledge on working with the nervous system and trauma.
My dear friend Ariel is on the podcast today. Woohoo!
Here we are.
Oh, welcome, welcome. This is a long time in the making, isn't it?
It is. It's something we've been talking about for quite a while now. It's pretty cool to be here together.
First of many, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
So, Ariel, what was your relationship to consciousness as a child?
Well, a lot of, imagination. A lot of creating other worlds. And I think about a lot being with my dollhouse and making art, drawing and escaping into those worlds. And music, too. And I think in these other worlds that I was constantly creating, one, they're a place I could play, but also they were a place that I could rest.
You and art go way back.
We go way back.
And it's in your lineage too.
Yeah. Yeah. Both my mom and my sister are artists. My dad, a musician. And then I definitely heard about grandparents and great grandparents playing music, dancing.
So you're doing it too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely been a way throughout my whole life that I've always been able to have a place where my spirit could come through and express itself authentically, even when it felt like every other part of my life may have been shut down in that way. That's always been a channel for me. I'm really grateful for that. Even when art and music have come in ebb and flows in and out of my life too. But imagination has always been.
I love that. I relate to that. I was very imaginative as a little one. And I think my imaginativeness has stayed, actually, as I think of both of us as adults. when you said you did a lot of imaginary stuff, I'm like, oh, that's what we do when we get together. Like, we're basically just playing like that.
Yeah. Yeah, dreaming. I love dreaming.
Huh. And so, I mean, I feel like what you do in the world today is so interesting. I just kind of want the people to hear it explicitly. Like, who are you? Like, what are you up to?
Okay. Well, I am super passionate about de-armoring. De-armoring of the emotional, the physical, and the energetic bodies, tending to our grief and our pleasure, altered states of consciousness. I'm like officially trained as a somatic sex educator, a sexological body worker, and a somatic psychedelic therapist. And music is becoming a big part of what I do as well. My voice is opening more and more, and I absolutely love singing. Yeah, and I work with people one-on-one and in groups, and I just get super excited and lit up by being in spaces, participating in spaces, co-creating spaces where people can just be really vulnerable. And where that's like celebrated and encouraged. It's so, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been thinking about vulnerability a lot recently. What keeps coming up in my mind, generally it's in response to something that someone is saying to me. What keeps coming up in my mind is like, oh, what a missed opportunity for vulnerability. For example, like someone is a public figure and we're talking about the trolling and also the like negative responses or like charged responses from friends or comrades in the space. Like, and I was just like, oh, what a missed opportunity for vulnerability when a friend will be like, you know, I can't believe that you did that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, because I just feel there are worlds underneath, like, your problematic thing that you did or said. It's like, well, I mean, the person could rightly need to be like alerted to something that they said or did that was like maybe not ideal or could be like marginalizing in some way. I don't so much mean that. I'm more like specifically, I should be more specific. Somebody didn't invite someone to participate in a live event. There was like some speakers and they didn't invite someone. And the person was like, how the fuck could you do that? Like, you know, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I think what they mean is I felt hurt and rejected or left out. I have this story in my head that you didn't want me at that thing. And I felt hurt by that. Yes, and I feel angry at you. Just like, oh, like what a missed opportunity for intimacy. So, right? There was that. And then a friend was talking about her partner and his defensiveness to something that came up between them. And again, I was just like, oh, it's like so much possibility for getting close in this. And yet we sort of get further away sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, that brings up a couple of things for me. One, just like the amount of skills that someone needs to have to talk in the way that you just did, you know, like communication skills, but also being like honest with themselves about what's happening for them and being able to differentiate between like their feelings, you know, what's their responsibility, how are they reacting versus responding to what someone else is doing. And then it also makes me think about how like it makes me think about conflict as an opportunity to get closer. The journey that I've been on in that. And I know that we've had a lot of conversations about this and how terrified I've been for so long in my life of conflict. And then the skill building I had to do within myself of building like enough of a felt sense of safety to lean into conflict within myself and potential conflict with other people. But the more and more I do it, the more intimacy and connection and closeness I have with the people in my lives. And the people that aren't in alignment, well, then they fall away. And that's great too.
Yes. Conflict is an opportunity and so scary. So it makes me feel so much in my body. I never want to feel that. I never want to feel that.
No. I never want to feel that either, by God. Yeah, actually, it's like I'm like imagining it right now. And for me, what is it? It's like it's kind of like a little band of tightening starts to form kind of like right over and next to my heart and into my throat. Yeah. And then that makes me think immediately because I notice what I want to start to do. And I want to start like kind of like lightly touching myself and soothing myself with like what feels good and pleasure. And it does actually settle it. It's amazing how that works. Kind of like a cat, just like gently rubbing myself.
She is gently rubbing herself like a cat in case you can't see. Yeah.
And then like, because it is like being a cat, then like my internal purr from rubbing myself starts to actually like break apart and dissolve the contraction and open it up. It makes me think about one of the things that I've been most excited about in my work lately, which is like, you know, I do a lot of body work with people and calling forward like a particular part and then using pleasure to integrate that part that's might be like fragmented or lost in disconnection to integrate it back into the whole. And I've done this sometimes in like practice with myself, but it's so, so amazing. Like just this, it's a simple concept, right? Like, oh, what does this part want to feel good? But like often that part has never been asked that before. And sometimes the part doesn't know, right? And that can be frustrating.
Right. Or I think sometimes it's hard to listen to the part, like the part may not communicate in words or in something that's intelligible right away for the person. There's a language that needs to come about between that part and the individual.
Yeah, right. And lots of patience and listening.
Right. Yes, another thing I've been thinking of recently relates to this of, I think in Buddhism, I think it's called the second arrow, but just like, you know, so the feeling of nausea, for example, or the feeling of shame. And then the second arrow is just like all of the suffering of, with that experience and the resistance to it, the attempts to make it go away or stop. So I think, and through an IFS lens, it's like that's one of the first questions you ask is, how do you feel towards this part? Which will illuminate what other parts are there. Like, oh, this, for me, when I think about conflict, my belly gets so clenched and tight. Like it feels like I'm trying to avoid a bullet. Like I'm like trying to get out of the way. And it's tiring. And it makes me not breathe fully. And how I feel towards that is really sad. I feel irritated and like kind of some despair, like, come on, it's been so long. Like, I've been doing this clenching for so long. I just want to relax. So it's like, those might be the parts for me to work with first, the part that's so tired from this belly clenching. Right. And then when those parts have relaxed back and I turn toward my belly and I feel compassionate and curious about what's going on there. And right, maybe that's the time to like apply whatever sort of like touch or support. And then more can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like there's so many layers, right? It's wild.
Way more than psychology or medicine would make us think.
Yeah. Just when I think I've gotten to the bottom of it, there's another layer.
Right. Sometimes the next layer is like, oh, another layer. I don't know. It's like an infinity symbol sometimes.
Yeah. I have this really like cool kind of integration that happened when I was singing the other day. And it was kind of like this wise part of me that I'm really stepping more and more into. That like, it's like, look, it is a circle. It's always a spiral. And we're kind of like always going around in a loop, but you can do it from up here. See, like, you don't have to be like down there and flailing all around. Yeah, it's like learning to move in the like flow of the current, like letting it take me instead of like resisting it and being like, I don't want to be here again. No.
The spiral is one of my favorite images.
Love a good spiral.
I don't know if you are about to take us in a direction, and if you are, please feel free to. I know on my end, I'm wanting to ask you more about doing body work with people and what that's like and what does that show you? But
yeah. Doing body work with people is such a gift. You know, first thing that comes to my mind about it is really the gift that it's been to my own healing journey, my own alchemy of my trauma around bodies. You know, being touched in ways I haven't wanted to, being fearful of my own body, being fearful of other people's bodies. So this gift of being able to be in a room with someone where if we've gotten to the point of doing body work, because the body work is directed by their body. It's not something that I'm doing to them. It's something that their body is asking for. So we've built a lot of safety, trust. They've built a connection between themselves and their own body and the ability to listen and hear what their body is asking for and telling them. So to be in a room with two bodies that are super present with one another is so beautiful. It is such a gift. It's so vulnerable in like the best way possible. And what gets me so excited is when we've been able to build this, co-create this space together, and they can take me with them to the places that they've been alone, the places where they've needed the most support, connection, love, nurturing touch. And then I can be there with them and give them that. And that's such a gift to me to be able to give that And then to get to witness them receiving that and just seeing the pure magic of it, I mean, it continually amazes me. And then I also get really excited about like erotic body work. And seeing people come alive when they give themselves permission to move their bodies in the way it wants to be moved, to make wild sounds, to like give voice to what they want and ask for it and build the capacity to hear a yes and a no from me, because I'm only going to give what I can with a full heart. And just to get to see the ripple effects of, you know, moving into spaces like that and how freeing up that erotic energy, that life force energy, and how that has such a strong ripple into all aspects of your life. And I get really excited about genital de-armoring. I'm actually going to be going to LA in a few weeks to do a few days intensive and learning more about that, which I'm really excited about.
Could you explain what genital de-armoring is, please?
Yeah. So, you know, just like any body de-armoring, the idea is that we all develop armor as a form of self-protection when things have happened too fast, too quick, things that we haven't wanted. So it could be from being touched in a way that you haven't wanted. It could also be from medical procedures. It could be from having an IUD. It's really a process, again, of just deeply listening, coming back into connection with this part of your body, using breath, sounding, and touch to move, feel, and release any stagnant energies, emotions, memories that are stored in that part of your body. Because it's a powerful part of our body. And to really fully become embodied, we need to inhabit every part of our body. And that part of our body is ignored in a lot of embodiment spaces.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Like even in the majority of body scans, right? They just like pass over the genitals.
I remember in Vipassana, he called it the seat. Notice the seat. I was like, that's a euphemism.
Yeah.
Right, because like, what would people think if we said, notice the genitals? Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Can I share something?
Please do.
I'm feeling grief about how the genitals have been left out.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking about, I almost feel my throat getting tight with emotion. I'm thinking about what a beautifully curious and open little human I was, tiny human, tiny being, and just how young I think I took on this idea that my genitals were shameful and dirty, and then how that got kind of like eclipsed by that my genitals were like something that like men wanted, and that I like it almost like something transactional, a way for me to be used, and I'm also feeling sad about how the thought of being used was like, almost like, oh, okay. Like, I was just like, yeah, this is how it is. This is how it is. I thought at a pretty young age, there's something in my psyche that is like, there's been like a confidence that I know how things are, that I'm so liberated to have shed by this age. I love living in the mystery and learning, you know, and just being open to seeing things in the moment and not like having a preconceived idea of what they are. But in the past, I really liked to be like, yep, this is how men are. This is how the world works. Or like, this is what my parents' divorce is. It's, you know, it's just this, like, it just needs to happen. And so, yeah, I notice I'm kind of dipping into some grief there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. They really resonate with a lot of what you shared about your experience of like what your genitals are there for, and just really kind of like a disconnection from them. And it also just makes me think about how every step we take into coming into deeper connection with any part of ourselves, then grief comes in, because we need to feel the ways in which we've been disconnected in order to move into that deeper connection. You know, that like, that constant back and forth between the grief and the pleasure, the grief and the pleasure. Yeah, it makes me think about like when I was little, like my parents' responses to finding me masturbating. And then like having no education really, you know, being sexually abused, and so many children are.
Thank you for naming that.
Yeah. And how like I also loved masturbating when I was little. I do think that it was a way for me to like I was introduced to sexual energy far too young. And I think it was a way for me to like self-soothe and try to figure out how to like work with this energy that was introduced to me. But also, it's also a very natural part of growing up and exploring our bodies. And then my mind is just jumping to like now the amount of people who don't know what their genitals look like.
Yeah.
You know, or especially people with vulvas. I mean, if you have a penis, it's kind of out there, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you inviting?
Yeah, I just want like everyone to look at their.
Oh. Jinx. I was just going to say, like, are you inviting the listeners to look at their genitals, Ariel?
Yes, I'm inviting you to bask in the glory of your beautiful genitals.
Oh. I really wasn't ready to do that until I was ready to do that, which had to do with some life circumstances arising. But yeah. But I mean, I actually, when I would think of mirror work, I would always think of you, because you've been doing that for a while and like singing the praises of mirror work.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's not always basking in the glory when you start, right? Like, it can bring up quite a lot. But in that bringing up, whatever it's bringing up for you, if you allow yourself to feel it, you're going to release it. And then you can get to the basking in the glory.
Yeah. I love the centering on pleasure. I don't know if you'd call it a centering, or what it just seems like pleasure is a grounding force in your worldview and your work.
Yeah, it's my orientation. And yeah, I feel like I want to orient towards what I want, which is more connection, pleasure, feeling good. And actually, in orienting towards that, retraining my brain to like move towards that And naturally, it's not like I'm bypassing, because all the difficult stuff is going to come up, because that's what's blocking me from more of that. Rather than orienting towards what's really hard, orienting towards the goodness and sitting with and being present with what's hard whenever it arises.
I feel like I just got a little tug at my sleeve that was like the plant world. And they were like, don't forget about us.
Yes. Let's bring the plants in.
They're here.
They're here. They are here always with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plants. Oh my gosh. What do you want to say about plants?
I mean, I kind of want to say how before we started recording, I said that you and I are both plant sluts.
Yeah.
And you really like that. I love how after I did a diet with Bobinsana, the only way to describe what I became was plant slut, because I'm like rubbernecking at every flower. Like I cannot walk down the street without being like, damn, hello. Like I want to smell you. Oh, look at your petals. Oh, I love you. That color, people are generally receptive to it. Like, you know, Leah's going to stop like a dog, basically. Like I'm going to stop and sniff and feel and even taste, depending on where I am.
I want to take the plants and like rub them all over my body.
Oh, yes.
Roll around with them. Dance with them.
Oh my God. Yeah. Sidebar. A relatively recent episode on this podcast was about kink with Megara Magic. Recommend. That would be a good one to listen to alongside this one if someone hasn't heard it already. That's a great one. And so just adding from a kink perspective of like beating myself with plants or having someone beat me with plants or beating someone else.
Yeah, plants have been such a big part of me also, like finding my pleasure, learning to hold my grief, which is part of finding my pleasure. I am in a deep, deep love affair with cacao.
You are.
Yeah, it can be a bit intense sometimes. Sometimes I need to like put a little bit more distance between us. But yeah, we're in it. We're really in it. And I've had so many like luscious, sensual experiences in altered states with plants that have, like, it's like the plants have actually been the teachers to show me what's possible for me when I haven't been ready to see that possibility without their help and teachings. They've also resourced me in feeling all the ways that sexuality has been so painful for me, so that I could get to those, you know, really juicy states in my, you know, everyday waking reality. I mean, they're all real realities, but you know, when I'm not in an altered state or that altered state.
That's causing me to think about the legacy of colonization that we have suffered with, that the people, you know, especially women, but people in general who had deep relationship with plants and lived like the plant life, were burned and outcast and tortured. And so many, recently I've been, this past year I've been investigating my ancestral lineage more deeply, particularly in the context of like working with medicine and ritual. And there's just so much information that was lost. It's lost because it was dangerous to, you know, it just wasn't, there was no internet. And so things were passed on by being taught it and it being written. And it's just, a lot has been gone. And yeah, grief from that. And also the coolness of reclaiming and the freedom, you know, fortunately that with the privilege I have in this life that I can relatively safely engage in, you know, working with plants.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it makes me think about the amount of kind of like releasing and I guess almost like unlearning or maybe learning more about the way colonization lives in my body and has impacted me in order to even start really listening to the plants. Like there was a period of time I needed to go through of like really feeling, seeing, understanding all that before I could even actually learn how to listen.
I empathize with that.
Yeah.
It's sort of an ongoing process. It's like, because we're being colonized every day. Yeah, it's a spiral.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Ugh, so much like, feels just like a well of grief around that. And I can also, even when I just kind of like float in that ocean of grief, I can still feel the sun on my face and all the plants around me, bathing with me, letting me touch them, wanting to touch me.
Smelling so fine.
Oh, so fine.
You have an offering coming up, don't you? It feels kind of related. It must be related to this. Sex and plants. Like, what isn't related to
this?
Well,
I have two.
Oh.
That are like super hot and fresh right now.
Give it to me now. Drop it.
So one is in Salem, Massachusetts. And that's a 6-week immersive. It's called Temple of the Womb. And it's a series of 6 ceremonies that are really here to support you in stepping out of societal norms, releasing shame, awakening to your sensuality, reclaiming your life force energy, authentically expressing yourself. We'll be working with ceremonial cacao, tons of somatic exercises, opening the voice, and really like centered around co-creating a conscious, loving community that uplifts and celebrates one another and really encourages and values vulnerability. And then I have a women's plant medicine retreat in Peru in March, where we're going to be working with ayahuasca and huachuma.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about both of these offerings. And I mean, like, you know, if someone really wanted to go for it, they could even do both of them.
That would be quite a year.
Like the year. Well, one is technically this year and the other one is next year.
You know. Salem feels like a apropos place to do a temple of the womb with this witchy kind of reclaiming and coming back into the power of our sexuality, sensuality, just embodiment.
Yeah, all of the above. It's all the same. It's all one. Yeah, then like so lit up being in like these communal spaces, these circles. Like I am just so enlivened by it. And it's really interesting to witness too, like one-on-one work can be really important. And I get that for some people, like there's certain things that you might want to really delve really deeply into that there's just not the space for in communal work. But I also am finding that there's something about like seeing multiple people doing something that people often almost like feel more like bravery or courage or comfort really to like try something where if all the focus is just like the facilitator on them, there's some sort of magic that can happen when a whole group is doing something that's not possible in one-on-one work. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely amplifies the power, the group.
Yeah.
I've seen that. I've felt that. Yeah. Props to you for holding group space. Because I think that it is complicated. I don't feel called to hold groups at this moment in my life. I'm really enjoying one-on-one work. And there's nothing like a good facilitator of group. Like what a magical power that is.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot I've learned and a lot I'm learning every day. That spiral, right?
The spiral. Well, if there's not anything else you'd like to share about that or anything else we've spoken of, I'm curious what your consciousness hack is.
Okay. I mean, definitely pleasure.
Right.
Definitely pleasure. And like I try to infuse it into my day throughout the day. But even like it's a constant reminder that I need to remind myself of every day. Like even when I'm taking a shower, like don't just take a shower, Ariel. Like feel the water drops on your skin. Ask yourself, do I want the water warmer or colder? What would feel best right now? Like, slowly rub my soap on my skin. Like, be mindful, be present, be in my body. Try to remind myself all day, every day. Yeah. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't.
Yeah, showering is a great place to explore pleasure. And I'm a fan of the pleasurable washing the dishes thing. Like I love washing the dishes. I love scrubbing the rhythmic motion and cleaning things and the warmth of the water and the smell of, you know, using a soap that I like the smell of. Yeah, the sound of the water falling. It's grounding.
Yeah, it is very grounding. Yeah, it inspires me to like try to make like the things that I like the least doing, try to find a way to like them.
That is a hack.
Yeah. Like something about them, right?
There usually is something.
Totally. Just gotta be open to it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I feel like I could just like sit here with you and like not speak. That's the kind of like place I'm in right now. Just like I just feel super present with you right now.
I remember once you said, you know, you really feel comfortable with someone when you can sit in the silence and mm-hmm. feels natural. And I've always appreciated that about our friendship. And I feel present with you too. Yeah. I'm like, let's just keep sitting together. Like, we can say goodbye to them and like, we can just hang out now. Well, where can people find you if they want to connect with your work?
Yes, you could follow me on Instagram at sacredmoonflower, or you can visit my website, chock full of information, and that's at sacredmoonflower.com.
It is a beautiful website. I love your website.
Oh, thank you.
It's a pleasurable website.
Yes, yes.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.